will refer to the diet question. We cannot now do as we have ventured to do in the past in regard to meat eating. It has always been a curse to the human family, but now it is made particularly so in the curse which God has pronounced upon the herds of the field, because of man's transgression and sin. The disease upon animals is becoming more and more common, and our only safety now is in leaving meat entirely alone. The most aggravated diseases are now prevalent, and the very last thing that physicians who are enlightened should do, is to advise patients to eat meat. It is in eating meat so largely in this country that men and women are becoming demoralized, their blood corrupted, and disease planted in the system. Because of meat eating, many die, and they do not understand the cause. If the truth were known, it would bear testimony it was the flesh of animals that act as aid through death. The thought of feeding on dead flesh is repulsive, but there is something besides this. In eating meat we partake of diseased dead flesh, and this sows its seed of corruption in the human organism. CV 412.1 I write to you, my brother, that the giving of prescriptions for the eating of the flesh of animals shall no more be practiced in our sanitarium. There is no excuse for this. There is no safety in the after influence and results upon the human mind. Let us be health reformers in every sense of the term. Let us make known in our institutions that there is no longer a meat table, even for the boarders, and then the education given upon the discarding of a meat diet will be not only saying but doing. If patronage is less, so let it be. The principles will be of far greater value when they are understood, when it is known that the life of the living thing shall be taken to sustain the life of the Christian. CV 412.2 A Second Letter Meaning the Issue Letter 84, 1898 723 I received your letter, and will explain as best I can in reference to the meat. The words you mention were in a letter to __ and some others at the time sister __ was at the health retreat 720. I had these letters hunted 413 up. Some letters were copied and some were not. I told them to give dates to the time of the statements made. At that time the meat diet was being prescribed and used very largely. The light given me was that meat in a healthy condition was not to be cut off all at once, but talks were to be given in the parlor in regard to the use of dead flesh of any kind, that fruits, grains, and vegetables, properly prepared, were all the system required to keep it in health, but that they must first show that we had no need to use meat, where there was an abundance of fruit, as in California. But at the health retreat they were not prepared to make abrupt moves, after using meat so abundantly as they had done. It would be necessary for them to use meat very sparingly at first and finally discontinue it entirely. But there must be only one table called the patient's meat-eating table. The other tables were to be free from this article. CV 412.3 I labored most earnestly to have all meat discarded, but this difficult question must be handled discreetly and not rashly, after meat had been used 3 times a day. The patients must be educated from a health standpoint. CV 413.1 This is all I can remember on that point. Increased light has been coming, for us to consider. The animal creation is diseased, and it is difficult to determine the amount of disease in the human family that is the result of meat eating. We read constantly in the daily papers about the inspection of meat. Butcher shops are continually being cleaned out, the meat being sold is condemned as unfit for use. CV 413.2 The light has come to me for many years that meat eating is not good for health or morals. And yet it seems so strange that I had to meet this meat-eating question again and again. I had a very close and decided talk with the physicians in the health home. They had considered the matter, and brother and sister were brought into very straight places. Meat was being prescribed for patients. Sabbath, while at the Australian Union Conference, held at Stanmore, I felt urged by the Spirit of the Lord to take up the case of the health home established at Summer Hill, which is only a few stations from Stanmore. 414 CV 413.3 I presented the advantages to be obtained in this sanitarium. I showed that meat was never to be placed on the table as an article of food, that the life and health of thousands were being sacrificed at the altars where dead flesh was being offered for consumption. I never gave a more earnest and decided appeal. I said, "We are thankful that we have an institution here where the flesh of dead animals is not prescribed for any patients. Let it be said that not one morsel of meat has been placed on the tables, either for physicians, managers, helpers, or patients." I said, "We have confidence in our physicians that this question will be treated from a health standpoint, for dead carcasses should always be looked upon as not fit to compose the diet of Christians." CB 414.1. I did not varnish the matter one particle. I said that should those in our health home bring the flesh of dead animals upon the table, they would merit the displeasure of God. They would defile the temple of God, and they would need the words spoken to them, "Whoso defileth the temple of God, him will God destroy." The light that God has given me is that the curse of God is on the earth, the sea, the cattle, on the animals. There will soon be no safety in the possession of flocks or herds. The earth is decaying under the curse of God. CB 414.2. Remaining true to our principles, NS3A, 1903, 724. Lately the number of patients at the sanitarium has decreased, owing to an array of circumstances that could not be helped. One reason for the lack of patronage is, I think, the stand that those at the head of the institution have taken against serving flesh meat to the patients. Ever since the opening of the sanitarium, meat has been served in the dining room. We felt that the time had come to take a decided stand against this practice. We knew that it was not pleasing to God for flesh meat to be placed before the patients. CB 414.3. Now no tea, coffee, or flesh meat is served in the institution. We are determined to live out the principles of health reform, to walk in the way of truth and righteousness. We shall not, for fear of losing patronage, be half and half 415 reformers. We have taken our position, and by God's help we shall stand by it. The food provided for the patients is wholesome and palatable. The diet is composed of fruits and grains and nuts. Here in California there is an abundance of fruit of all kinds. CB 414.4. If patients come who are so dependent on a diet of flesh meat that they think that they cannot live without it, we shall try to make them look at the matter from an intelligent point of view. And if they will not do this, if they are determined to use that which destroys health, we shall not refuse to provide it for them, if they are willing to eat it in their rooms and willing to risk the consequences. But they must take upon themselves the responsibility of their action. We shall not sanction their course. We dare not dishonor our stewardship by sanctioning the use of that which taints the blood and brings disease. We should be unfaithful to our master if we did that which we know he does not approve. CB 415.1. This is the stand that we have taken. We have resolved to be true to the principles of health reform, and may God help us, is my prayer. CB 415.2. Plans must be set in operation that will bring an increase of patronage. But would it be right for us, for the sake of obtaining more patients, to return to the serving of flesh meat? Shall we give the sick that which has made them sick, that which will keep them sick if they continue to use it as food? Shall we not rather take our stand as those who have resolved to carry out the principles of health reform? Tea, coffee, and meat served in patients' rooms. -437. CB 415.3. MS 73, 1908, 725. There are some in our institutions who claim to believe the principles of health reform, and yet who indulge in the use of flesh meats and other foods which they know to be injurious to health. I say to such in the name of the Lord, do not accept positions in our institutions while you refuse to live the principles for which our institutions stand, for by doing this, you make doubly hard the work of teachers and leaders who are striving to carry the work. Don't write 416 lines. Clear the king's highway. Cease to block the way of the message he sends. CB 415.4. I have been shown that the principles that were given us in the early days of the message are to be regarded as just as important by our people today as they were then. There are some who have never followed the light given us on the question of diet. It is time now to take the light from under the bushel, and let it shine forth in clear, bright rays, not to be served in our sanitariums -424, 431, 432 not to be served to helpers -432, 444 excessive use of sweet foods as harmful as the use of UNDIS yeast flesh meat -533, 556, 722 CD 416.1 content chap. 24 beverages per day- water drinking pure water a blessing 1905 mh to 37, 7 to 6. In health and in sickness, pure water is one of heaven's choicest blessings. Its proper use promotes health. It is the beverage which God provided to quench the thirst of animals and man. Drunk freely, it helps to supply the necessities of the system, and assists nature to resist disease. CB 419.1 Health Reformer, January, 1871 727. I should eat sparingly, thus relieving my system of a necessary burden, and should encourage cheerfulness, and give myself the benefits of proper exercise in the open air. I should bathe frequently, and drink freely of pure, soft water. CB 419.2 Use of Water in Sickness Letter 35, 1897-128. Water can be used in many ways to relieve suffering. Draughts of clear, hot water taken before eating half quart, more or less, will never do any harm, but will rather be productive of good. CB 419.3 1866 H2L, Chapter 4, page 56 729. Thousands have died for want of pure water and pure air, who might have lived. These blessings they need in order to become well. If they would become enlightened, and let medicine alone, and accustom themselves to outdoor exercise, and to air in their houses, summer and winter, and use soft water for drinking and bathing purposes, they would be comparatively well and happy instead of dragging out a miserable existence. CB 419.4 in Fever Cases 1866 H2L, Chapter 3, pages 62, 63 730. If, in their fevered state, water had been given them to drink freely, and applications had also been made externally, long days and nights of suffering would have been saved, and many precious lives spared. But thousands had 429 with raging fevers consuming them, until the fuel which fed the fever was burned up, the vitals consumed, and they had died in the greatest agony, without being permitted to add water to allay their burning thirst. Water, which is allowed a senseless building to put out the raging elements, is not allowed human beings to put out the fire which is consuming the vitals. CB 419.5 A Right and Wrong Use of Water R&H, July 29, 1884 731. Many make a mistake in drinking cold water with their meals. Taken with meals, water diminishes the flow of the salivary glands, and the colder the water, the greater the injury to the stomach. Ice water or ice lemonade, drunk with meals, will arrest digestion until the system has imparted sufficient warmth to the stomach to enable it to take up its work again. Hot drinks are debilitating, and besides, those who indulge in their use become slaves to the habit. Food should not be washed down, no drink is needed with meals. Eat slowly, and allow the saliva to mingle with the food. The more liquid there is taken into the stomach with the meals, the more difficult it is for the food to digest, for the liquid must first be absorbed. Do not eat largely of salt, give out bottled pickles, keep fiery spiced food out of your stomach, eat fruit with your meals, and the irritation which calls for so much drink will cease to exist. But if anything is needed to quench thirst, pure water, drunk some little time before or after the meal, is all that nature requires. Never take tea, coffee, beer, wine, or any spirituous liquors. Water is the best liquid possible to cleanse the tissues. More about drinking with meals -165, 166 One of God's Medicines -451, 452, 454 CB 420.1 per day-t and coffee The stimulating effects of tea and coffee RH, February 21, 1888 732. The stimulating diet and drink of this day are not conducive to the best state of health. tea, coffee, and 421 tobacco are all stimulating, and contain poisons. They are not only unnecessary, but harmful, and should be discarded if we would add to knowledge temperance. CD 420.2 1868 to T64, 65 733. Tea is poisonous to the system. Christians should let it alone. The influence of coffee is in a degree the same as tea.